Friends, I would like to ask you kindly to return to the portion of scriptures we have read. And one of the privileges in Matthew 6, if you would like to return to Matthew 6, one of the privileges, this morning we talked about the privileges of God's people, but one of the privileges we have as God's people is prayer. I don't know if you ever meditate about the privilege of praying. We have access through prayer to the Creator of heaven and earth. We can talk to the Creator of heaven and earth. We have a very interesting way of calling Him. You see, there are some people who address God as God, and indeed He is God. There are some people who have a different idea about God. They address a God in their own way, but they cannot call Him Father. The Muslim don't call their God Father. I'm not aware of the Buddhist or religion how they address people, but we have a great privilege. We can call Him Father. And today I want to look at something. It is an interesting privilege because when we pray, we can have help. You see, there are people who often pray, but they pray and get no answer because they don't believe. But when we pray, I'm going to read to you from Hebrews chapter 4. You see, when we pray, we can find mercy and help and grace. The Apostle Paul writes in Hebrews 4, verse 14 to 16, and he depicts Jesus as the high priest. Seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast of our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but we was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in our and grace to help in time of need. See, my friends, this beautiful privilege of prayer is that we can go to God, we can pray, because Christ understands what we are going through. Christ understands what we are going through. Is not ignorant of our temptation. He was tempted. God is not ignorant of our suffering. He can see. So we have a God who cares. And when we pray, we also have peace. You know, my friends, I like reading some scriptures to you. You know, my friends, very often there are people who pray, but they have no peace. But when we pray, we can find a peace. And the Apostle Paul, again, he talks to the believer, says this in Philippians 4. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Very often, my friends, we are troubled in our minds, we are stressed, we get anxious, we get in a frantic mode, we are worried beyond all all measure. So the privilege of prayer, that we have a relationship with God. These are not the things that we need to understand, that not all prayers are heard of God. Very often people say, I pray, but God does not hear me. Now, my friends, there is only one reason the first thing I want to say is this. The Lord does not answer the prayers of those who are unjust. Book of Proverbs says, an unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is an abomination to the... No, sorry, I just got the wrong verse. I do apologize. Yes. When the weak... I apologize. Yeah, I got the right verse now. He that turneth away is here from hearing the law. He even his prayer shall be an abomination. People who refuse God cannot pray to God. Really, they pray, but they cannot be heard. The Bible says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. Even his prayer shall be an abomination. People who pray to God for needs, that they don't repent of their sins, how can they be heard? And if you remember, there is the parable of Jesus, told the parable of the publican and the Pharisee in the temple. And the Pharisee was praising himself before God, listening to God all his merits, how good he was, how better than everybody else he was, he better than the publican. And God did not hear him at all. So there is this privilege. We need to be careful and what implies. Sometimes we hear people praying and we wonder, what are they praying to? And Jesus is very interestingly giving a very interesting lesson here. He's instructing his disciple on how to pray. First of all, he says, when thou prayest, verse 5, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. And then there was very customary in those days for some people to show off. They want to be seen. The Pharisees especially. They stood up in places, in the corners, and they would be seen of men. Now, you see, the point here is Jesus, we don't need to be seen of men. There, because they have the reward. You see, people who claim to be very religious, and there are plenty of them, my friends, in every religion, and sadly, even in Christendom, there are people who show off in their prayer, who want to be seen by people, who want to be praised by people. There are people who pray all excitedly in some circles to be seen. And there are people who they're not as excited, but they give a lengthy prayer, which is a list of all their merits and goodness, but not praising God. So this is what Jesus is trying to, to point. They are hypocrites. They want to pray to be seen of men. Now Jesus did not condemn public praying, because Jesus prayed himself publicly and saw the apostle. But what it's condemning is the prayer made with a purpose to be seen of men. And this is not the prayer which pleases God. You see, in order to please God, if you look in verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. We have to have a personal life of prayer, your private life of prayer, and when thou shut thy door, pray thy Father which is in secret. Pray in secret, praying privately. Of course, that means we need to have an habit of praying. The Bible tells us that he used to raise up very early in the morning to pray alone. Now, I don't know you, but do you pray alone? Do you spend time in prayer to the Lord privately? You should pray as well with your family. We should pray whatever publicly you are allowed or invited to. But there is an interesting point. Do we pray privately? Do we talk? Because prayer is a way of fellowship with God. We talk to God. Can you imagine having a father not to talk to your father? What kind of relationship in a family that won't be if we don't pray with God? And the purpose is to be heard of God, to be seen of God. It's our relationship, the relationship between the Father and His children. In fact, He says, "Thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly." And also there is an interesting teaching here, not to use too many vain repetitions. But when you pray, verse 7, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Jesus is not condemning repetitions as such. He's condemning vain repetition. You know, I don't know if you've ever been in a Catholic church, they pray the rosary. The rosary is actually a Buddhist invention which went through Islam and ended up in Christendom. And they have all these beads, and every bead, every 10 Hail Marys, one bead is the Lord's Prayer, and then there is another prayer, the Gloria Patri. And basically, they believe that if they do the rosary, this all the time, especially during the month of May, if they do it repeatedly, the Lord will answer their prayers, will bless them. And they repeat the same prayer over and over and over again. And they give to this action a kind of super spiritual power. They have the ability to please God. This is what God wants us, to repeat His prayers, to do it so often. But this is a kind of trying to convince God to do to answer their prayers. This is God is satisfied with a kind of prayer. But Jesus doesn't want that. God doesn't want this kind of repetitions, useless repetitions. So Jesus offers them a pattern. But when you say in verse 9, after this manner therefore pray ye. And it's interesting what the Lord is teaching is in this prayer. I don't know, probably you know this prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Some people do pray it regularly, some people use it as a model. But it is important that we teach it to our children. I think is a very good way to teach our children how to pray. And Jesus starts, when we start praying, we need to begin with the Father. Reverence. You see, there are people who pray today and they give God orders in prayer. I don't know if you ever heard this kind of people. They order God in prayer. They tell God what He's supposed to do. And that's not the prayer, that's not reverence. There are people who have a very strange way of praying. They are so vague, they ask for nothing. They don't pray, they don't praise God, they just give a very vague prayer. So we start with the first word, our Father. To whom do we pray? Well, first of all, we pray to our Father, which is in heaven. And is, you know, if you remember, a few weeks ago I came and spoke on Acts chapter 17, in which we have God, Paul described the Father as the creator of mankind. So, in a way, God is a Father in the sense of being our creator, but also He is our Father because we are reconciled through His Son. So in Colossians The Apostle Paul describes this, Colossians chapter 20, and having for he pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether things be they be things in earth or things in heaven. The Lord has reconciled us to the Father. Christ was the way we reconciled to him. And we can cry, it's just an apostle. We can call, we can, because we are adopted. Remember, we are adopted. We've been given the spirit of adoption. We can call him Abba Father. Abba, which in Hebrew is the word for daddy. It's interesting, the relationship there. And so we address our Father. Not an intolerable, not the distant God the pagans had in mind, not the Allah or the Muslim ready to destroy, our Father. And it's a Father whose name has to be kept holy. Hallowed be thy name. We love the name of God. Thou shalt not take the name of God in vain, the commandment says. We love the name of God. It's precious to us. We pray to our Father, and we desire that his name to be kept holy, because we need to glorify his name. When we pray to him, we glorify his name. You see, my friends, we have our Father, but we must never forget that our Father is the King, is the Creator of heaven and earth. He's a sovereign, and we need to honor him. So there is this reverence. You may tell me, Marco, we know all about reverence, but sometimes to be reminded is good. And also because when we are reminded, we can share it with others who may not have had the same kind of upbringing we had, who may have not been taught properly. There are a lot of people who are sincere, I believe, sincere in their faith, and sincere Christians, still babes in Christ, but they have not received good teaching. They have not received sound teaching. And we can tell so much to them, we can help them. And prayer is one of the first things. And also here that Jesus is teaching something. We pray for the progress of God's kingdom. Thy kingdom come. May the gospel prosper. The preaching of the word. Souls be gathered in. And we also believe in the sovereignty of God. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What a beautiful petition we have here, my friends. We declare in this prayer, we acknowledge that God is the sovereign God. Everything is under his control. You see, when we pray, there are people who approach to God in prayer, but they don't believe he's in control. That's why they offer very vague prayers. They almost pray God as if he has to pray to you, Lord, because it's tradition, but I don't believe you can do it. Have you ever heard people with this kind of attitude in prayer? I have, and it's sad. It's sad because, no, my friend, God is in control. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You see, when we believe, this is one of the strengths of those who believe in the doctrines of grace, in the sovereignty of God. We know that nothing happens by accident. We know that God is always in control. Can you imagine for a moment, my friend, if God was not in control? How terrible would be. You see, when we deny, when we don't understand that God is in control, we then come to the belief that there are two gods. The pagans used to believe. The God of good and the God of evil. And they both are equal. It's not like that in the Bible. There's no equal to God. Because he's in control. Satan is not, sorry for that, that is diverting. Satan is not equal to God and Satan is not in control. Because when we believe that God is in control, our prayer life changes. Our prayer life is stronger. Because we pray according to his word, not according to our imagination. And there are a lot of people there who pray according to their imagination. So Jesus is giving this model prayer. We have the will of God. Sometimes the will of God in our lives can be hard. The Lord allows us to fiery trials. The Lord allows us to be ill, to be unwell. And the Lord wants us to draw us closer to him when we are tested. And it's very difficult to say when you are ill, God, oh Lord, may thy will be done. But his will is always perfect. So let's continue. Let's continue in the model prayer. Not only we pray, we've been talking for the first few petitions of God, we exalted his sovereignty, we are exalted that he's the only ruler of the universe, and that everything happens is in control. But now the Lord, because our God, our Father, cares for us. This is a beautiful thing about the God of the Bible. The uniqueness is the God who cares. And he cares for the little things. And Jesus says, give us today our daily bread. He cares for our necessities. Not our wants, our necessities. We can depend on him. You see, you and I have been blessed, you see, with some of our jobs. We have a roof over our head. We have a meal on our table. How much we have to be thankful for things. We should be very grateful. I don't know if some of you have known poverty. I have known a certain degree of poverty. It may surprise you. It may surprise you. That's a story I can tell later on. But the Lord never forsook us. I never gone to bed angry. The Lord always provided in wonderful ways. But we have to pray, give us today our daily bread. Do you ask the Lord for your necessities? You see, it's very important to teach this prayer and this pattern even to our children and young Christians, because sometimes God is depicted as a person who is too busy and he doesn't care about little things. The Lord does care about little things. Especially we need to teach children. The Lord cares about their things too. So we have our daily needs. We can pray for the bread. But we also need to pray for our spiritual needs. You see, we fail in many ways. Forgive us our debts. It's not talking about the debts with the bank, your credit card. No, it's not talking about that. There was no credit card in those days, anyway. is talking about our sins. We sin. And sadly, we do. It's not something we should be proud of. It's not something we should say, well, it doesn't really matter. You know, I'm a sinner saved by grace, still a sinner, but I cannot help it. I know, my friends, don't take this attitude. Sin is a serious matter. Don't go to the extremes. There are some people, some believers, when they sin, they think, well, I cannot help it, so who cares? And there are some people who almost go into a depression and suicide mode. Oh yes, there have been people who have committed almost suicide because of that. That's not the right attitude. You see, this happens, but you don't have the scriptural teaching about the life of the Christian and the sanctification. So we need to go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. Forgive us our debts. And also, we have another issue here. Not only we need to forgive for our spiritual needs, for being forgiven ourselves, but we need to forgive those who offend us. Oh boy, this is a hard one. Because some of us find very difficult to forgive those who offend us. And we have different cultures. There are people who come from a very explosive culture where somebody offends them, they will retaliate immediately. I don't know the Chinese culture, but I can tell you something about Sicilian culture. We don't retaliate immediately. We take vengeance later on. And it takes years. We smile at the end of the person who offended us. We even invite him for a meal. He'll pay later on. Terrible, isn't it? Terrible culture. So, you see, we need to forgive. Because the Lord has forgiven us. We can be, you see, when we don't forgive, our hearts become hardened. Our hearts become full of malice and spite. You see, when people don't forgive, believers don't forgive others, they just know that something is not full there in their hearts. We'll go back to that in a moment. And the other thing is, we need to pray knowing our weakness. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Oh, my friends, how often we are weak. You see, the Lord, I want to share something with you. The Pope has changed the prayer a few weeks ago. He says that it needs to be replaced with, do not let us fall into temptation. But the Greek text has not allowed this kind of translation. The Pope says that his translation is better because the translation given in the Bibles, lead us not into temptation, makes God the cause of temptation. But the believers have prayed that prayer for 2,000 years and never understood it that way. Lead us not into temptation. You see, when we are tempted, the Bible says that God gives us the strength. If you look with me, please, if you want to, in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. We are, the Lord gave us, makes a way to escape. The Apostle Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 10, 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Nobody is tempted more. But God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted, which means tested, tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So there is a way there. The Lord will give us the strength. Also, the Lord does not tempt anyone to sin. You see, the Lord in James, we are told, God tempts no man. James 1:13, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Martin Luther described temptations as birds flying over our heads. Now, we cannot avoid temptations this way, birds flying over our heads, but we can avoid the birds making a nest on our heads. So we are praying that the Lord will give us a way out. Some of us have some besetting sin, some sins which we are particularly weak or prone to. There are certain things which attract us. And when the Bible says that we are attracted because of our own lust. And we need to be, ask the Lord not to lead us into temptation, not to protect us from it, to make us change way. Not only this, there is also this is protection, to protect us. How many times, my friend, the Lord has protected some of us in certain circumstances where if we didn't have God's hand upon us, we would have definitely fallen into sin. But even when we fall into temptation, let me allow to say this, there is remedy. We need to confess our sin, repent before God, and he will restore us. Of course, we may have to face the consequences of our sin. But the Lord is a merciful God. He will forgive us. He will strengthen us. Never despair. Even when we fall into sin, never despair of God's grace. Of course, this is not an authorization to tell you sin as much as you like. But unfortunately, I'm saying it does happen that a believer does sin. But when it happens, I want to encourage you not to despair, but to return to the Lord. But there's also another prayer, deliver us from evil. You see, it's interesting, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We pray, we know that the devil is always against us. We know that evil is around us in many ways. Some people say that it could refer, in the original Greek, to refer to evil in general, or the evil one being the devil. It doesn't matter. We need to ask the Lord to protect us from the attacks of the enemy, to protect us from the temptation. Who is the person who tempts us? Satan, from his nest. He always wants to bait us with some sin. He's not almighty, Satan. And Satan is not all-knowing either. And he's not everywhere. Don't give to Satan the attributes of God. He's a created being. And so here we need to pray that the Lord will deliver us. Defend us, O Lord. Deliver us. And then we acknowledge this. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We conclude our prayer with praising our King. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Everything is his. And because his, the kingdom is his, the power is his, the glory is his, we can pray to him, we can trust in him. And to conclude is, if we pray according to this pattern, we can also pray this prayer. There's nothing which prevents us from praying this prayer. So Jesus, by teaching this prayer, wanted to teach his disciples the prayer which pleases God. And it's the prayer which is to be seen by God, the prayer which is to be heard by God, not by man, by God. He also gave us a conclusion thing, interesting things about prayer. He encouraged us to forgive, and I want to conclude with this. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive men, not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Sadly, I have in my Christian life heard people who are not able to forgive. But the Lord, if we cannot go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to forgive us, if we cannot forgive others. Of course, there are people, I strongly agree with you, some of you may say, Marco, you don't know with whom I work, you don't know my neighbors, you don't know. Some people may have difficult people around, even family members, even fellow believers. Oh yes, fellow believers can be very difficult at times. But remember, we can be difficult too to others. We can be difficult to others. We may do things that hurt others. So we need to have this graceful spirit to forgive, because we want to be forgiven. The Lord will deal with a person. You see, when we don't forgive, what we do, we start having that kind of bitter spirit. And bitterness in the heart is a terrible thing. Bitterness in the heart obstacles our prayers. So to conclude, my friends, I want to ask you, pray according to this pattern. Feel free to pray this prayer. There's nothing wrong in praying this prayer. I do pray the Lord's Prayer myself from time to time. It reminds me of what I'm supposed to pray for. And teach it. Teach it to your children as a model prayer. Instruct your children, the young people, in this model of prayer. Because out there there's a lot of Christianity, inverted comma, which gives some very strange models of prayer. And as we see people departing from the scriptures more and more, the rules concerning prayer becoming looser and looser, and the prayers are becoming repetitive, vain, self-centered, and they don't glorify God. So may the Lord bless you. May you continue and exercise prayer. If you don't have the habit of praying regularly, privately, with your family, or publicly when you're at a prayer meeting, and do pray according to instruction of your congregation and your minister. Do pray, do participate, do seek the Lord's face in prayer, and He will bless you, and He will reward you. Interesting. You know, the reward that God does give His people, the blessings, the fellowship, the peace which surpasses all understanding.